You've heard my cackle 600 times before, so here's to 601.
Unlike Shannon Vidor, I'm not big on birthdays, but I'm thrilled to celebrate this milestone of number 600 with you.
Oh my God, you guys, it's Andy's Girls. Listen, it's a big, I never know the number. I quite literally never know the number, but sorry if I continue to cough, P.S. during recording, because we're still in the pneumonia cough era.
Listen, we'd pot on the deathbed, and this is
we
proof.
Would, and with some of us might be. We're going to see what happens. But this is a number that I will remember. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 600, and I am so excited to have a return guest. You know her as a content creator, host of the podcast High and Low, someone with a couple thoughts on this universe we call Housewives. Welcome back to Andy's Girls. Bravo, bravo, ducking bravo. BBDB, happy anniversary.
Happy, happy. You know, I tell you what, I'm honored to be here. And I feel like this is a big deal. As Whitney would say, it's a very big deal.
It is a very big deal. I am on a pre-surgery healing journey. And
you are.
I am so worried. We've been talking about that offline. And I so I am very stressed out, but also you and I recorded a Taking It Personally earlier today that soothed me. Like I genuinely was like,
wasn't that nice?
It was so nice.
It's nice to break up with Bravo every now and then and just do a little cheating and talk about other stuff.
I just forgot the name of the show again. And I've already said it.
It's because it's an odd name. Nobody wants this.
Nobody wants, because I keep thinking Nothing Likes Us or something. I don't know why. It's like distorted in my brain.
Yeah.
Nobody wants this.
Yeah.
Nobody wants this. Okay, great. So that's a episode to coming soon, which was a delight to record. But listen, AG 600, I feel like you've been on about 550 of them. Have you not?
Yeah, I think so. That's how it feels anyway. But also it feels like every time we talk, it's just like a fresh new, what's it going to be? We don't know where this journey's going to take us. And wow, what an episode. You were right. You were like, this is a really good episode. I knew it would be, you know, but still, I have a lot of notes.
Well, we were texting yesterday and I was like, should we do like a looking back on like Housewives and people we've changed our minds on? And then I started watching Orange County and I said, scratch that. This episode is so good.
Plenty.
The best way to celebrate AG 600 is to have an AG classic talking about the fucking godsend that has been this season of OC.
Yeah.
There's no better way for me selfishly to mark the occasion than to talk specifically to you, specifically about Orange County. That is a dream.
Mm-hmm. And for a Shan stan, I mean, what more could you ask for? It's giving.
It is giving. It has been, you know, we've been on the battlefield for a while.
You have been, yes.
And it's one of those things where we're like, oh, are we winning? Like, but we're not winning. We're winning because people agree that Shan is losing and is understanding that.
Yeah. I mean, I think you just got to stay strong. You got to stay focused and got to stay strong, you know?
You know, there's been a lot going on for us. We have weathered the storms Bedore of everything rumored about Love Hotel, Joel Kinnear.
Oh, God, there's so much going on.
And he put out an apology today, but he did add a PS, which I was like, uh-oh. So there was that to process. And then I did watch Shannon's Watch What Happens Live from last night. Energy was kind of weird. So I was like, ooh, this feels, it felt like spiritually, but also literally she forgot cameras were on her at points.
But aren't those some of the best episodes or did it not work out?
I don't think it worked out.
Okay.
I don't think the energy was right.
And okay, I haven't seen that.
It's tough because, you know, Andy is such a pro. He's obviously, he's like literally a star. But there were points where he's kind of doing the thing for us, which we love, which is like sort of mugging for the camera. But that can be tough to do when Shannon is in the middle of having like a real tight 15-second breakdown. And so when she's saying things and getting upset and he's like giving her eyes of like, you know, reacting to it. There's no Nothing. He could not have done anything else. There's no other way to process it, but it's a fucking lot. It's a lot this to do on live TV.
This is the life he's chosen, okay? Mm-hmm. He's the one who decided that he was going to do a 30-minute live show with loose cannons every single... That's on him. And that's his circus. So he's fine. He gets paid well to handle that.
This is his circus. These mm-hmm. are his clowns.
Yes.
And, you know, we had the clowns going off to London Town. And I really think this is one of the best seasons of any franchise of all time. Like, I'm just going to say that historically.
Yeah.
But also this trip to London. I mean, can we just not get a moment to breathe the Shan stands? Like, it's just... upset after, I mean, one could argue Tamara is in my brain right now because Tamara's like the upside down version of what I'm saying, which is just like, it's a lot. Like Shannon mm-hmm. is going through a lot and it does not seem, breaking news, hot take, to be going terribly well right now.
Does not. But then also the last few minutes, let's just get into it.
Can we just cut this shit and get into it?
Can we just get into it? Can we just talk about it?
100%.
Okay. 100%. All right. First of all, I want to say I'm so in love with the fact that they had like a girl's date to go get, you know, breast. What do you call that? I need to get
mammograms.
One. Mammograms. Thank you. And I just think that's such a fun thing to do. It's like, you know, you go out with your girlfriends. It's like, should we go to the club? Should we go here or there? Why don't you go get mammograms? Why don't you do something for your health and well-being? I love that. I thought that was great. And I like that they were so honest about it. I love that Jen was so real, saying like, oh no, I felt something like 5 months ago and everybody freaked out. But she's so real for that. She could have lied about that. But she's like, no, I have a lot going on and I just didn't need that right now. I couldn't think about it. So anyway, I enjoyed that. I know they've done that on Beverly Hills a lot because Kyle is a very big proponent of, you know, getting that preventative measure done. But I just thought that was a great way to start an episode to remind people, like, go get your mammograms.
And it is also Breast Cancer Awareness Month, is it?
Oh, yes. I think so. Yeah, October. Yes.
Andy just did a Watch What Happens where the audience, I believe, was filled with breast cancer survivors of breast cancer. And I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but I absolutely will, which Erin was a guest on, especially important because of her mom's going through breast cancer. And I just think the timing of this was fascinating that this episode dropped right now, because all the better to talk about this. And exactly what you said, like, I'm sure Jen has gotten probably some heat from people. And it is also one of those things of like, you might feel a lump or feel off or have a gut instinct, or you have family history, or you want to get, you know, checked and see if there are additional testing or anything else. And it's not that it's easy not to do it. It's just sometimes your body is not ready to process whatever the truth might be, which isn't an excuse, but it is to say that, like, Jen acknowledged that she chose denial, which is mm-hmm. not healthy, but it is a choice that she made. And the important thing is she changed her mind and she had friends going with her. And I went to brunch recently with a friend of mine who was like, listen, I've been going through some health stuff and I just want to tell you that I'm okay now. But the thing that I learned is there's so much that's fixable. And because I've been going through health stuff, and he was like, you know, I know you're going through challenges, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Don't delay anything.
Mm-hmm.
Get it fixed now, because you're just potentially delaying the inevitable, making it more complicated, and you're choosing to, quote unquote, live with a certain amount of stress.
Yeah.
Even if we're in
denial,
the not knowing. Like Jen herself was like, it was like bricks have been released from me that I was carrying. And
mm-hmm.
I really appreciate someone saying, and Shannon had gone a decade without getting a mammogram.
That's shocking. You know, I was so surprised by that, because when we first met Shannon on the show, she was so into health and well-being. And was that a decade ago? I was trying to like do the math in my head of when was her first season with Dr. Moon.
Probably about a decade. I think this is her ninth season, maybe, or 10th. I think it's
ninth. Because she was like paying Dr. Moon's light bill. She was going there like every episode, and then her whole house, she was focused on like health and no, like, radio waves and the, and now all of a sudden it's been a decade. So I really feel like it's also a reflection of how women, when they're dealing with stressful situations, especially if you are in charge of a family, you have kids, you have husband issues, you put yourself last. And I think that is also something that is very relatable to a lot of people.
Just looking up some info about mammograms, the Society of Breast Imaging recommends that a woman at average risk for breast cancer begin getting annual mammograms at age 40. And we heard Gina talking about the fact that, you know, like this was going to be her first mammogram. Obviously, that's dependent on a variety of factors.
If oh, yeah.
Family history, yeah. Your own medical history, mm-hmm. symptoms. Are you doing a self-check? Like there are so many different reasons why that number starting at 40 might be before 40. The important thing is that what we saw was, you know, women, just like we saw, as you said, with Kyle on BH, just women together supporting each other and getting checked. And you don't know, you're a cast member in this TV show. It's a real mammogram. You're really getting checked. Yeah. You don't know what the result is going to be. Heather mm-hmm. got some devastating information.
I could tell she was shocked by that. And that is startling news. And as a dense breast girly, I'm like, oh shit, you know, that's enlightening. That prompts it a little bit further. Like I should probably think about that. But also heads to tails, just FYI, as long as we're talking about this and kind of making this like a moment for people, they're now telling people in their 30s to go get a colonoscopy because the rates of colon cancer are so high, probably from all just the crap that they feed us now and like no fiber anyway. So that's something else that people should do.
And listen, you know this because I know we've talked about this, but I was supposed to, well before the age in which a person is supposed to get a colonoscopy, was recommended and scheduled to get a colonoscopy in February of 2020. They had to cancel it because pre me getting diagnosed, I didn't know that I had a water electrolyte balance disorder. Mm-hmm. And the prep for the colonoscopy didn't go great.
Yeah.
But the good news, and then COVID happened, the good news is I finally had the colonoscopy in June. It came back completely fine. Most important for anyone, obviously follow your doctor's instructions. At this point, I have a nephrologist. I have other doctors who are advising me. I had four doctors telling me all this stuff to do before, and I had no problems. I had no problems with the colonoscopy prep, which is one of those things where I was so freaked out about it for years because I'm like, yeah. Eventually they're going to need to check this out. And I don't know how I'm going to get through the prep itself. And it was so much less stressful. I know mm-hmm. people talk about colonoscopies as in like, it's going to be crazy. It was, for me at least, I had a colonoscopy, endoscopy, no big deal. It was so easy. You know, like, honestly, you know, I can never look at lemon sorbet again, but it really genuinely was one of those things where I felt so much better after the fact because it wasn't even just about getting a clear result. It was the fact that I was so scared of the unknown. And then I realized, you know what? It's manageable.
Exactly. And I've had one too. And I think I told you about it when you were like prepping for yours. Like it was 12 hours for me. Like I started taking essentially like laxatives and drinking Gatorade and whatever. And I was like, and 12 hours later, it was over. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you can do anything for 12 hours. Like that wasn't that bad. I slept for six of it. Like it's okay. And then they knock you out. And that's the whatever drug they give you is the best drug on earth, in my opinion. I was like, hit me again. It was so nice. But it was a fun. It was fine. No drama.
I mean, listen, while we're talking about medical stuff, and then we will talk about Housewives for about 45 seconds. You know, as you know, I'm getting abdominal surgery next week. I've never had surgery before aside from my wisdom teeth. There are a variety of current and ongoing issues related to that. And it is very scary. I am really genuinely afraid. But the thing that I keep reminding myself is like, I have to do this. This is important to do. I quite literally don't have a choice in the matter. body is telling me like, babe, like, let's just get to that point and get through it. And it is, I've heard from so many AGs since I, you know, mentioned, I'm not getting into details at this point because there's a lot, unfortunately, that I don't know until they're scooping shit out with a melon baller. But the thing that I've heard from people is like, listen, I know that you are scared and like late time Googling and Redditing is not great, but here is my experience and here's what helped me. And that is genuinely PSA moment, and then we will talk for another 6 hours about Shan, but like, information is power. And when women come together and support each other, when people come together and support each other, there is nothing better than that. Like, mm-hmm. it just genuinely, everyone is afraid of something and going through some sort of challenge throughout the day. And if people can just kind of like see each other at points, you could look at that person and say, like, I have, you know, it's the meme of forevermore, you know, you have no idea what someone else is going through. And just to acknowledge that, like, at the end of the day, we're all scared of something, and we're yeah. all just trying to get through the day and kind of manage stress. And for me, at least, Housewives has been a huge part of being able to disconnect, like,
always
100% to sit down and be like, you know what? It's really not even about, thank God I'm not Shan, because like, she's going through so much and her processing. It's really about like, I'm just watching someone else try to cope. And there's something about that that is, it's not escapist. It's like, it helps me connect with emotion. So if mm-hmm. I'm in denial about my own, I get to see Shannon, sure, overwhelm herself or be overwhelmed, but she's expressing it in a way that makes me feel better, because I'm like, emotions aren't bad. You know, yeah. like, we just need to be able to communicate them. And sometimes on Housewives, it's like against their will. But
true. It's a little forced every now and then, but still.
It is. It is a little forced. Listen, there is so much for us to unpack about that episode. Moving on from tits, which,
yes,
God love them. I need to get your thoughts on what I thought was the smoking gun of smoking guns. How did you process the reveal of Alexis's text?
Quietly, internally, mm-hmm. and it was like a deep, satisfying, warm hug. It was like we all knew. I mean, there were doubters. Like that first episode, there's a door, Shannon, but door, when that all happened. And Shannon was like, no, your name, you signed it. You signed the cease and desist. Like, your name was on there. And she's like, Brett, show it to me. I'm like, oh, you know Shannon doesn't have it. You know she doesn't have it. But I feel like she knows, she remembers. Like, you wouldn't forget that. You wouldn't forget who stabbed you, who shivved you in the side. I think she remembers that Alexis was part of that, but I don't know how and why. So if I was shocked by anything, it was the fact that she'd known this for a minute and she had already shared it with Tamara. If I found that on my phone, I would call the camera crew at 1 a.m. to get over to my house. I'd be blasting that. I'd be putting that on social media. I'd make a t-shirt. So yeah, I felt like that was a moment where it's like, we all knew what Alexis was about back in the day. We know what she's about now. And I don't care what Tamara says, she cannot gaslight us out of this.
Okay, couple questions.
Yes.
Do you think this text was what Shannon was thinking of when she said that Alexis sent her a cease and desist, or rather, cease and desist? Or was this text the sort of warning, the foreboding kind of pre-communication before a possible letter was sent?
Now, we can't know, right? But my theory is that all of the above. My theory is that Alexis was linked arms with her husband, her king. She called him her king. We were there. I lived it. Okay. They were a team, a unit. And so I believe all of the above, that she texted all sassy saying, we're going to get you and we're going to get a lawyer. And what had happened was, and then also that she signed something and that Shannon remembers seeing her signature on something. So it's a note to all of us. Keep paperwork. Keep a little file. Take a picture of the paperwork, whatever it is. Save a PDF. You know, do what you got to do. Keep your receipts.
And the fact that there is a text, an exchange with Tamara,
I
where
know.
Tamara now uh-huh. is acknowledging she remembers this was sent.
Oh, yes.
And she is lying
oh, yes.
out of her ass mm-hmm. every second of the day, trying to, God forbid, trigger warning, I know people use it incorrectly, gaslight Shannon into thinking this thing never happened by saying over and over again that Alexis had nothing to do with Jimbalino's lawsuit. I just want to say, as a public service announcement, everybody, you know, get those boobs checked, all that good shit. But also, Tamara, the reason you don't have, was it $500,000 or $300,000? I think like Shannon,
I think it was three. Oh, maybe it was five for Tamara.
I think Shannon lost three, Tam lost five, whatever. It's more money than I'll ever see in the entirety of my life. Tamara put together. Tamara lost it because of that lady she's defending every second of the day.
That's right.
She hates her former friend, Shan. Mm-hmm. Tamara lost half $1 million because of Alexis Bellino and Jim, but 100% because of Alexis Bellino, her new best friend. What does that tell you? I guess Tamara is big on forgiveness and also, speaking of denial, not just a river, okay? Not just a area of Havasu where there's also a London Bridge. Like, it's unbelievable.
I don't know what she's doing. I don't know, especially with Shannon, right? Because it's not like Shannon's going to keep that to herself. So it's like, Tamara knows that Shannon knows, but she's still trying to feed a different story in front of the cameras. It's a ticking time bomb. It's a matter of time. Maybe she's doing it for the show, but I just don't think that she's that calculating. I think she tries to be inflammatory, and I think she tries to poke at people and stir up drama, but I don't think she thinks like chess. I don't think she thinks like, but I'll maintain this storyline knowing that Shannon knows and that at some point Shannon will confront me on camera and then we can have that out.
I have to say, if it is the golden age of television for Shan stands, it also is for chumps, which is the term for Jeff Lewis Live viewers. And I was just watching an episode of Jeff Lewis Live recently with Ben and Ronnie, the kings of Watch What Crappens, the best, the absolute best.
I don't know how they churn out pods. They churn out pods
every
like
day.
They don't eat or sleep.
I mean, they're incredible. They're doing an ultra marathon every single day.
Yeah, they do.
And they are the nicest, just, you know, insular podcast, yada, the nicest, kindest, my absolute, I mean, they're number one for a reason in every way. And I cannot speak highly about them, really genuinely.
I haven't had the pleasure of meeting them in person, but I've DM'd a few times saying that their stuff was good and they've been kind back.
They 100%, they're lovely. But the thing that I thought was really interesting on this episode is they were talking about interviewing Tamara because they just had Tamara and I think Teddy Joe Carrot on a recent episode. And they were saying essentially, like, at the end of the day, Ronnie was saying, you know, it's sort of an impossible situation because regardless of how well prepared you are, she's just going to lie and exhaust you. And he wasn't saying it in a way that was hypercritical. He was just being honest.
Those are the facts. Those are the facts.
She's just going to lie and she's going to do it effectively and confuse people. Like, if she was on AG tomorrow, and I would love to have her shout out AG601, it would be difficult because if a person is just flat out lying and denying the reality of stuff, including stuff we have watched on television, that is a very difficult quote unquote interview or recording or whatever to manage.
I could not do it. I could not do it. It would be impossible for me to do because, you know, I deal with like science, math, like what's happening, what's up, what's down. No, the grass isn't purple. I could not do it. But I will say, I was very shocked in the episode when Tamara's talking to Eddie, and first of all, they just keep calling Ryan a little bitch, and it's getting so annoying. I'm like, can you expand your effing vocabulary? Yeah, that. And then when she says, I did, but I didn't lie. I wrote it down somewhere, but she's like, I didn't tell one lie. Like, I told the truth the whole time. I'm like, you got a lot of stuff backwards. You don't even know what you said. You were drinking so much, you don't even know if you said everything accurately. So it's just these, like, definitive terms she keeps using, like, oh, absolutely. And the FBI, this, I'm like, you don't even, you're going to get yourself into trouble again, like you did with Jimbalino.
She really hasn't learned anything except, no, there's no even except, because she had to recant a bad joke she told poorly on Watch What Happens, because Ryan asked or
it wasn't a joke. Collab. It was a statement. Yeah. Yeah,
that's true. That's true. I mean, she wasn't meant a joke. It to be a dick. That's a good point. That's a good point. Because she meant it to be a dick, but and
there was no setup. There was no punchline.
That's a good point. No, that's 100%. That's a absolutely a valid point. And I don't really know what she's doing, but it's annoying to me because Tamara's one of those people who I thought she had humbled herself after being fired, after losing the check. And I'm like, Tamara, give us a couple more seasons before you self-implode again. It's not that it's becoming unwatchable. It's that she's so out of place just for me because it's just so intensely, aggressively manipulative. And then we have other people that I think are being more honest.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that they can't also be dishonest, but it's she's just so aggressive and arrogant, and she's unwilling to hear anything. She's learned all of the wrong lessons of being a podcaster and being online. And it's just kind of frustrating because I'm like, oh, are we never getting any other kind of Tamara ever again? Is she just going to get worse from here?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think I said in one of my last pods that she reminds me of like almost the way Lisa Rinna got towards the end, where it's just like almost a frantic, manic, just whatever, just grabbing as many dollars out of the air as you can, just thinking, how can I stay on camera? How can I keep clicks going? How can I create more content? How can I keep people talking about the show? How can I make more drama to where it doesn't even feel like a real human being is doing anything? It's almost like an AI generated, you know, housewife drama something. So I don't know. I don't know if she's watching the episodes back, if she sees what we're seeing, and if she's concerned, because it's one thing to say something and not know that you said something wrong, right? Like if I say, you know, somebody's last name wrong, or if I say, you know, it was Ryan's house that was raided, and then somebody corrects me, and then you correct yourself like, oh, I'm so sorry, that's right, it was his friend's house that was raided. He was not raided. There's nothing like that from her. It seems like it's, I don't think she ever corrected that, actually. She keeps saying his house was raided on the show, and as far as I know, it was not, but she's not at all concerned with being accurate. So at that point, it doesn't even feel like it's actual drama. It just feels like it's like almost like just a person on the street yelling random words. So
As AGs know, I am spiritually mid-20s plus. And like many people, the conversation about saving and investing can feel really complicated. And for me personally, often feels like it's out of reach. Like I'm joining a conversation in the middle of it. I'm not quite sure really how to start. Which is why I am so thankful for Acorns. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. BCC, PK, and Dorit. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. That's perfect for me and my life. I want to make positive change, but so often it's hard to figure out where to begin. Acorns does that work. I always felt like in order to start investing, I needed to have one big lump sum, but Acorns takes away that kind of stress. It's small, important changes that you can make in your life for your future. Head to acorns.com/andyscrolls. Or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/andyscrolls. As AGs know, I am spiritually mid-20s plus. And you know who else is? My dear, close, personal best friend and also deity, Jennifer Lopez. J-Lo is actually the reason that Google launched Google Images, because of that infamous Versace dress. And she's still, 20 years later, more sought after than ever before. With skin like hers, it's not a surprise.
Love don't cost it a thing, but I don't want to continue to wait for tonight. Whoa. And thanks to JLo Beauty, we can glow right along with her. Get that JLo glow for yourself with JLo Beauty's Deluxe Kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. And much like my dear best friend, Jen, I absolutely agree. My personal favorite is JLo's Limitless Glow face mask. It is so soothing, easy to apply, cleansed my skin, had the mask on, and truly was having a spa night at home. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try JLo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that JLo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/AndyScrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for listeners of Andy Scrolls. Head to jlobeauty.com/AndyScrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. That's jlobeauty.com/AndyScrolls. I started taking Hormone Harmony because for me, that time of the month feels like it became the entire month, dealing with cravings, bloating, not feeling like myself. Well, now it's easier to manage PMS and menopause with Hormone Harmony. My number one, supporting hormonal balance and regulation. Hormone Harmony also helps relieve symptoms of menopause, improve sleep quality, relieves hot flashes and mood swings. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It is zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndyScrolls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndyScrolls for 15% off today.
It feels like bluster, and then we end the episode with Heather questioning whether Shannon was using the photo of her face bloodied, which I'm sure Shannon did not want to have public. It hadn't been public until the point in which she showed it to Heather during filming, questioning whether that's propaganda. And I just have to kind of wonder, your closest ally, Heather Dubrow, currently on the show is Tamra Judge. And you are wondering if Shannon is manipulating you.
Like, yeah.
The embrace of denial from Heather Dubrow for a woman we know is really fucking smart. She's too smart to be this dumb. And I'm not saying she doesn't have, like, that there isn't stuff to talk about with Shannon, but I am saying her focus on upset around Shannon while refusing to hold Tamra accountable for literally anything, as well as Alexis Bellino, is wild to me. Like, Heather is not the victim here, and making herself the focus of it is, I think, arrogant.
Oh, well, yeah, but that's also... that's Heather Classique. But I was surprised by that. I was like, of all the things to complain about, like, you are not, she's like, I'm being used. I've been used. You know, for what? To what end? It doesn't make any sense. She was confiding in you. And I remember saying, like, after I watched those episodes, that felt extremely raw and real. The way Shannon was crying, she was visibly shaken. Her hands were shaking. She was couldn't get words out. There's nobody who is as good of an actress as that. That's a real human moment. And that's why we, you know, certain housewives last a long time, because you know when somebody is being real and you have your suspicions when you feel like people are just tap dancing for the cameras.
Yeah, it's Taylor Armstrong in Luggage. It's Taylor Armstrong in A Hard Case from Away. Like, it really, yeah. It is someone who is not in control. And the other thing that I find interesting, like, guilt by omission, the fact that these women are questioning whether or not Shannon had previously discussed with Jeff Lewis before going on air, questions about whether John may or may not have heard the accident, you can get into a conversation of like, why did Shannon say she never considered it on air? She gave a different version, slightly different version of events as an explanation on Watch What Happens than Jeff did as a follow-up on JLL, on Jeff Lewis Live. He said essentially, I was the one, I spoke to her 10 days after the accident. I asked her whether or not John may have heard. And when I said it on the radio, she said she hadn't considered it. And the reason I think she said that was because she was scared. She was scared that he was going to maybe from Johnny J would do something else as far as defamation, any other kind of legal threats. And she didn't want to say that that had been a conversation she and Jeff had had prior. She feigned, I don't think it's innocence, but she feigned, well, maybe like a little bit in terms of not having ever once quite literally thought of that. And this is the thing that the women are holding on to. But then I think of the fact that everyone seemed to know about these goddamn tapes and didn't say anything to Shannon until essentially it slipped out.
Yep.
While they were about to get a massage that I would argue she needed more at that point than ever before.
Yes.
And so you are all challenging Shannon, calling her a liar. Well, what is the point of being upset that she's a liar? Because it taps back into whether or not she's a good friend. What are all of you motherfuckers doing? You're saying, I don't want to be a part of this. Well, neither does Shannon. So like, yeah. Who's winning here? She just continues to lose. And it's tough to watch because nobody seems to be handling this John situation terribly well, and I don't begrudge them for it. So why are they so mad at Shan?
I don't know. I think it's just really easy for people to be suspicious of one another and believe that, especially, I mean, you got Tamara out there being like, she planned it all. This is a plot. This is all just for attention. She's just yelling, going off like a parrot in the corner, just planting stuff in your mind. You ignore like 8 out of 10 of them, but then like 2 get through and you're like, is she behind that? So I think this is going to be a hell of a reunion for Shannon to look back and see how hard Tamara has been working against her the whole season.
But also look at who is in your corner. Jen is in her corner.
Jen has been a shining example of just absolute grace and kindness to Shannon, like no judgment zone. Gina too. Gina has risen quite a few times to just like, you know, have people tone it down when they're being awful. And even Emily has spoken up in defense. So it's disappointing about Heather, but I feel like at the end of the day, it'll come out in the wash.
Yeah, I think, you know, for an episode that seemed to be framed a little bit around like friendship betrayal,
yeah.
I think that there's more than a little bit to go around. And it just kind of boggles the mind that so much of the upset by the audience in watching these episodes hasn't been felt by major members of the cast. Like, mm-hmm. I think in real time, Emily is reacting to what is happening in a way that I absolutely understand. Gina, 100%. Katie, new to the cast, doesn't want to get into it. Also, as Jen has said, seems to have the perspective of like, well, Alexis is nice to me.
Uh-huh.
But I would argue, I get that politically, but also if she's nice to you, but a fucking dick to somebody else, who gives a shit whether or not she's nice to you? Now you know what she has capacity
That's
to
right.
do.
That's right. That's going to be you next.
It's 100% going to be you next. And also, why would you want to consider this person a friend? Oh, because she's like so passionate and she's a fighter. Yeah, that's not great. It's not great to be passionate and a fighter when you're behaving in this way. I don't think it's acceptable.
I don't know what Alexis has done that makes anyone want to come to her defense the way that they do, other than it's just salacious and it's good for the show in their minds.
I mean, Katie and Jen, again, it's wild as a Jeff Lewis Live, as a chump, to see how many franchises he is currently infiltrating and the number of episodes. It's like, it's actually like kind of fucking nuts and a little bit of a, not on purpose, but it is a terrific ad for Radio Andy. Because it's like, this is the shit that happens frequently that we get to talk about in real time. And then it becomes a part of possibly Housewives franchises many months later. But Jen and Katie went on JLL this past week and were talking about the Alexis of it all and the fact that, like, you know, well, she's nice to me. She's a good person. I mean, LOL. She's a good person. She's just very protective. And I'm thinking, like, yeah, I don't buy this whole idea of protective. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't think I understand that that is the excuse, or that's just kind of the explanation for Alexis's behavior, but it doesn't make it acceptable. And I think it's genuinely worrisome, just in the sense of, like, an extraordinary lack of emotional maturity and growth, or lack of, like, emotional intelligence, or maybe just decision making. If this is the kind of person she is, where she cannot separate two feuding exes from her own relationship, she just doesn't have the power to do it, or she's with a partner who won't allow it. Like, that's a challenge for her to have, but I don't feel the need to defend it in any way. Like, I've had empathy for Alexis before, but she's just such a fuck up. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to see someone just make such terrible, and I get this as a Shan stan, the irony of me saying this, but, like, make such terrible choices.
Well, I mean, also, I think it's very obvious, or it has been to me anyway, that she's angling for camera time, that she's putting on her very best, like, be my friend, I'm the coolest, I'm the funniest, I'm the best. None of it feels real. None of it feels authentic. I don't know if she just wants to be back on the show, or if it's all for Johnny Douchebags, or what the point of it is. That's what we call him on my show, a Johnny Douchebags. That's how I say it every time.
I love that. I'm very into that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, it's not to say that I couldn't find her charming in the future. I just know that she's an idiot. Like, I hate to use that. I hate when people are really flippant. But I also think, like, no, I think that's actually appropriate to say. In this situation, she's behaving like a fucking idiot.
Well, and this is how she is around men, too. She is a woman who centers a man, and her thoughts and feelings, she doesn't, I don't even know that she actually asks herself what she thinks of things. I think that she looks to her newest king, whoever that is, to tell her how they feel about things. And she is his puppet. And that is very upsetting as a woman to watch, just period, you know, because you can see, even when she's on there saying, I don't like this, I don't want him to do these. Cool. Guess what? You have free will. You can not be a part of this anytime you want. I don't want to hear these, you crying about this. So it's multiple layers on why Alexis is annoying to me.
I also think, if we're going to talk about propaganda and we're going to talk about lying, like, liar, liar, terrible pants on fire. Like, Alexis Bellino is lying her ass off. I actually don't know that she's really upset that this is happening. I think she might be upset at the pushback she's getting. Yeah. But you would really have to present, and honestly, send me a satchel. If anybody listening to this feels strongly on the other side, I would love to hear it. I would love to unpack it on a Patreon, whatever. I want to understand it, because I find it hard to believe that she is not finding something of value out of this. Maybe it's bringing, as she has said in interviews, her and John closer. I don't think she wants to be hated.
Yeah, I think this is kind of their kink. They're kind of their foreplay. Like, they get off on this.
Absolutely, because they can say and argue somewhat effectively to each other or a mirror that they are the victims because everyone hates them, so they only have each other. The part that's missing here is, like, why do people not like you? Is it because of behaviors that you were either activating, defending, furthering? Like, you're the reason this is happening. You're the reason. Johnny J is the reason that the vast majority of the audience doesn't like him. He has such a desperate need for validation in the form of, like, media attention.
Yeah.
If he had simply moved on and started fucking Alexis and maybe been her boyfriend on the show, it would have been a curio. It would have been maybe an LOL, but it wouldn't have been this deafening roar of boos. He's just so self-involved and self-obsessed that he needs people to communicate out loud, including most importantly, women he's been inside, that he mm-hmm. is a powerful, good, decent man. What he could have done is just behaved in that manner.
That's
instead
right.
Instead of trying to sue a woman and taunt mm-hmm. her and threatening her into proclaiming his goodness, he could have just focused on being good. But he doesn't want to do that. And Alexis maybe isn't attracted to that.
Good point. Good point. She's getting something out of this.
Yeah. Apparently really good dick 4 times a day.
Who wants that? I mean, honestly, I think you take a poll of the average woman and you're just like, you got to be kidding. Mm-mm. I got stuff to do. Mm-mm. I've got hobbies and interests.
This man is not Adam Brody.
Ugh, no. Don't put his
hands anywhere near my face or my ice cream.
Oh, God, don't make me feel sick right now.
Not a Freudian slip. Like, no, absolutely not. I would assume that the text would make a big drop. But the thing that I think is going to be not concerning, but like maybe pathetic is like, I don't even know if that text is going to make a difference to half the people at that table.
I mean, well, that's the thing is sometimes with certain people, information that you think is going to change a point of view, if it's presented it depends on how it's presented, because people can just kind of like Heather did, like, you know, in some altercation, she just gets that wall up. And so there is no logic. There is no reason. There's only emotion and there's no way to break through to the other side. But Tamara knows. So she has already made her decision that she's going to willfully ignore a fact and just keep going with what she would prefer to believe. So we'll see. We'll see how the others react. I think it's going to be a huge... I love how big of a deal it was to Gina. That made me happy. Like, her reaction was my reaction. Mm-hmm. So I know it's going to be a big deal to Gina, to Emily. Who knows? We'll see how Katie plays it. Heather? Wild card. I don't know.
I've lost a lot of respect for Heather.
It's, you know, it's one of those things. You got to keep your expectations low for the Dubrows. Better to be pleasantly surprised.
Agree. And also I could get it back in an instant.
You could.
I really could, but she's just been just disappointing to me. And I don't entirely understand her, which is not PS negating her upset about people not asking her about how her appointment went when they went to get checked.
Which I was surprised by, because she orchestrated that, right? That was her thing?
Yeah.
So it's really surprising to me that people didn't, I don't know, first of all, pull her aside and thank her, and then right. This was such an important thing that we've done here today. Thank you for doing that, and how are you, and blah, blah, blah. So that was surprising.
I was surprised by it. I also thought that when they heard someone say yay, and it was Heather's voice, they just assumed that Heather had gotten a good result. And because she hadn't said anything, there was nothing. They forgot. It doesn't mean it wasn't hurtful. And you know, I love a double negative. Mm-hmm. I certainly understand her upset. I absolutely empathized and completely felt her emotions and her vulnerability when she was expressing them. But I also think like it was a mistake. And they heard you saying yay.
Yeah. So I mean,
I get it. But also, are other people allowed to make mistakes? Or is that just a part of some massive scheme to like defraud you of your friendship?
So that's the thing about a relationship with Heather, it seems, from what we've observed, in my opinion, that she is very easy to offend. And then you have to win her favor back. So Gina being kind of like walking on eggshells in the beginning of the season, that's how I perceive a relationship with Heather from someone who's more casual. I feel like the way that Emily and Gina's relationship is like you could make a mistake, a faux pas, and you like skip over it within 5 seconds. It's not a big deal. It's like, oh, I didn't mean it that way. And like, oh, okay, all right. And you keep going. But with Heather, it's going to be a thing. And that is, it takes a little bit more energy and a little bit more care. Yeah.
I think Gina and Emily are friends, and Heather is a monument to friendship.
Mm. Yeah. Because honestly, to be a really good friend, you can't be freaking out on people that much. You can't be making people jump through that many hoops and walking on eggshells like that. You got to just be a little bit more chill. But they're on a show. I tell myself they're on a show. So maybe their guard is always up. Like, who's trying to screw me? Because Heather does seem very defensive.
Yeah.
Like, oh, are you trying to use me for your real estate thing from her rich friends? I believe that. It's like, how? Think back in your mind. How has she ever tried to do that? Like, what evidence do you have that that has ever been a real thing?
Yeah. And the scene of like bloodied Shannon.
Yeah.
Is tough to think about now because Heather's like, were you just using me for cameras? And I'm thinking to myself, Shannon has been on this show for nearly a decade.
No one needs to use her as a prop for a storyline. Yeah.
But also there are examples where women are like talking to each other, but also obviously talking to the cameras.
I mean, that's every time Alexis opens her mouth to someone. I'm like, okay. All right. What do you have that you want to share with the class?
1,000%. And for Heather to seem shaken at the idea that someone might say something to her when there's a camera crew there, and also be aware of the fact that the camera crews involve camera and that they will be recording this moment. And that moment might include Shannon talking to a friend, and maybe you were the one that she picked and maybe you weren't.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a producer who was like, Shannon, you have some shit to say. Why don't you, you know, paddle on over to your pal Heather's and talk? Like, their disbelief that this is a produced, highly edited reality TV show, so that when Shannon says in a moment of frustration, like, now the show is bleeding into my personal life, and they're like, isn't, well, the show is my life.
This is my actual life. Have you been pretending this whole time?
Heather Dubrow, was it not an episode or two ago where she was criticizing her husband?
Don't admonish me on camera.
For admonishing her on camera, and she said, don't do that. We're going to pretend now that this is like a C-SPAN style, like a National Geographic documentary.
Yeah,
like,
where you can't interfere. And then also, remember last season with the sushi? I'm still upset about it. I'm upset about the cheese in Jersey, and I'm upset about the sushi in Orange County. All that sushi got thrown out. Yes. Mm-hmm. And she was like pulling people into the stairwell and yelling in, there was camera people. And
maybe
she's like
pushing.
Yeah. Projection. I don't know. Something like that.
The realization that these women are going to have one day that, like, wow, can you believe that some of these episodes get edited together and some of these meals that you guys are having with each other? I mean, who's going to let them know that Shannon is, in fact, not paying for the trip? It's paid by production.
I don't know.
Although, you know, speaking of gifts, number one, did those Burberry scarves actually cost $600? Number two, why did she do that?
So I have a couple thoughts on that. I mean, I remember the first time I ever went to London and I saw them everywhere. I was like, everybody's wearing this scarf. What is that? And I had never heard of Burberry in my life. And then I saw vendors on the street with just piles of them, that exact look. And I was like, this must just be like a local thing that people like this kind of print, you know? And I still didn't know what Burberry was. It took me like years to figure it out. I was like, oh, that's a luxury brand. That's a thing. Because I didn't grow up knowing anything about luxury brands, right? I was a normal human being. And so I wonder to myself, did Shannon just go out and just buy a stack, you know, from the street? Or were they actual Burberry ones? And either way, for people's knee-jerk reaction to be like, oh, Shannon, don't. You have to pay, you know, $75,000 or whatever. Just be thankful for a gift. You know, she's already given it to you. You don't have to bring up the 75. Like, that's always in her mind, I think. And I had the same feeling about, you know, Jen, she's getting her glam done, and this woman can't do anything without being like, you know, you've got bills. She's got bills. What is she doing? She's living with somebody. She's okay. Like, if she's got glam, she's already figured out that somehow it works for her and she's fine.
Me? No.
This man is obviously helping her to pay for things.
Yeah, that's not great.
That's a life she's chosen.
yeah, that's not great. That's not great.
This is her journey. This is for her to figure out.
It is for her to figure out.
Plus, we never know people's real budgets and life on this show. And that's something else I've come to grips with. Like, the people who say they're the richest, give it a minute. Give it a minute. You don't know who can afford glam and who can't.
I always respect, like, a return housewife who's been there for a while who doesn't hire Trip Glam, because I just think it's absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, I hate Trip Glam. You know that I'm anti-glam. I love when the New York housewives, who we knew had coin, were just talking shit and doing their own hair. And I loved that. And they would start getting drunk while they're doing their hair. And it was like half of it looked good. The other half was a little iffy. That's my favorite. Absolute favorite. I don't want to see glam teams. Get out of the room. We're trying to talk about actual stuff. Like, it's not the time for glam. So, you know, I feel like glam has really damaged the Housewives brand. I don't enjoy it. I want to see people being real. I'm not trying to see somebody get dolled up by a professional. And it's robbing us of those real moments we could have while two, you know, ladies are sitting there doing their makeup together, which is a cherished time among friends, I think.
Yeah. And I just think, you know, if we're performing a little bit on Housewives, like, you got to know the decision to hire glam is not, like, what's the upside to this? You're such a beautiful woman. You don't need this. I know that nobody needs anything at the end of the day, but, like, just think of the optics. Like,
are we sure it was Jen's glam and not Katie's glam? I rewound it just to double check.
We are not sure.
Okay. Okay.
They could have split.
They could have split. They're new friends.
They're very close friends.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm into.
I like it.
I like it.
I like when we have, like, legit alliances and people character-wise enjoy each other's personalities, and it's a bit more organic than what they sometimes give us.
Yeah, and I think we've seen friendships grow in the Bravo universe because housewives realize we like them together. Mm-hmm. And this is nice because it's, like, literally Katie's first season. She has no idea what the audience is thinking of her or them together. They're just genuinely two people who, like, connected through the show and have seemingly become a lot closer since cameras went down. And I enjoy that because I think that they're both – they're just really, I think that they're really, really, I think Katie and Jen in particular are very, very strong audience.
I agree.
Ensemble members, rather, not audience members.
I think they're very strong. I was saying the other day that I think that Jen is kind of like she's like a killer. Like, she's got so much potential because she's so sweet and so kind. And when they went over to Alexis's house, or I forget who she's talking to, she was asking somebody sort of like a leading question, but she did it in a very sweet way. And I think that that is actually more powerful than just the yelling and the screaming and the draining. And it's like, okay, we get it. And I've really enjoyed seeing them connect because they went on that trip to Big Bear with Tamara, Alexis, and then the two of them. And several times through that episode, they would, like, give each other a look. And I'm like, that's the beginning of a beautiful friendship. When you're in a room of crazy and you match eyes with somebody else, like, that's it. Yeah. I've enjoyed them. I really do. I think they're both, like, nice people at the end of the day. So it's a good friendship. Instead of just, like, two kind of cunning people getting together to see how they can ratchet up more hell. I like that about them, too.
And I think Katie just needs to take the L on the paparazzi stuff.
We got to let this go. We got to move on from this.
It wasn't, the receipts weren't receipts. It was a screenshot of a text message of someone saying, yes, that's not anything. And if you can't tell us who this person is or the reason that it's a receipt, it's not a receipt. The receipt, a receipt, when you go to a store, when I go to the housewives store and I'm getting a receipt, you're, like, telling me what it is that I'm buying and how much it cost.
Who, what, when, where, why?
Who, what, when, where, right? You're giving me a yes. That's not a receipt. That is a screenshot. Just take it. It's not worth it. There's so much other good stuff you could say about Heather Dubrow that's negative.
Plus, I think everybody knows, just looking at that photo, like, the odds of that being completely organic, like, just very. I acted it out just now.
Audio podcast.
Like, looking off, pointing like Babe Ruth, like, oh, but lovingly over there. So
Am I gullible? I kind of think that it wasn't. I don't think that it was. I don't know that it was paparazzi. Because I don't know. The way that Heather was like, I'm kind of, she's had this on, again, spoiler. No, wait, was it Jeff Lewis Live? It was somewhere. She said it to somebody somewhere. I forget. She said it on Out and About. She said, which you can watch on YouTube. She was like, I'm essentially, she didn't use this wording, but like, I'm too self-involved to want to have paparazzi take my picture when I look like that. She's like, I would have like done my hair, I would have done something else. And she said, you know, we had hired the fancy pants, surprisingly enough, hexagonal ice style, like Disney guide, that's a bajillion dollars. So we didn't even have to deal with the kids. And we had just found out the house was happening and we had had some drinks and we were genuinely enjoying each other and giggling like school kids and being like, what next? I do believe that. Like, I know the timing of it is terrible.
It's really just the photo, the way it looks like a prom photo or something, but it could be. The thing is, we don't know. These shows are open to speculation. And that's what makes them a joy. So I'm fine with not knowing. I embrace the unknown.
And also, she's so rich, she can be goofy. I mean, if you're going to be goofy, you know.
That's true.
Go to an amusement park. But like, she can afford to do that. Yeah, she has no stress on her that day because they sold their house for $55 million. I would probably also be gesticulating similarly.
I don't know that I would go to a theme park.
Well, I think they found out essentially sort of there-ish maybe around the day.
If I had, I just don't know that I'd go to a theme park, period. But people are different. People are different.
Well, they were there for Katarina. I think it was like Katarina's birthday.
That makes sense then. I was like, did they just go to, I don't know,
No.
Get some funnel cake?
They were there with one of the kids, and I think it was like a birthday situation or something else, so the kid had friends. I think it was Katarina, but it could have been somebody else.
Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last. When it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation? It's not just water, it's Fiji water. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com.
And also, can we just take a moment? The fact that they're on an international trip.
I know,
shout out to where did we just go on Salt Lake City, Wisconsin? Like,
Did we go to Minnesota? No. Minneapolis?
We went.
I'm like Janet Jackson.
Minneapolis!
Hold on. I don't remember.
No.
I don't remember where we went.
No, we went to Wisconsin because that's where.
Are you sure?
100% I am. Because that's where Trixie Mattel is from. And that's where the Bucks played. What was the name of it? It began with an M. Oh, my God.
It was an M.
This is embarrassing. Hold on. I'm going to Google it. Wisconsin, Salt Lake City. Yeah.
I would remember if it was Wisconsin because Lil Wayne rhymed something with Wisconsin one time and it would like stick out in my mind. The gummy's hitting, by the way. Enjoy. It's going to be fun now.
Milwaukee.
It was the Bucks. Milwaukee. That's not in there. That's not one that's like, that's pulling up from the front of the register. That's in the back. That's back of house. Okay, Milwaukee.
Which honestly looked incredible.
It did. It looked super fun. First of all, Trixie Mattel, say less. That's all I need. I don't know where we are. I know that I know who you are, and that's all I need. Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I really enjoyed that, and I thought it was, like, the perfect fit for Salt Lake. Like, it's fun and unique, and, like, the women are, like, kind of, like, slightly out of, you know, it's, like, they're slightly uncomfortable. They don't know what to expect, which is always wonderful.
Yeah.
But then also, like, we're going to London for Shannon's fake, you know, it's she's leading the trip, but, like, poor Shannon, like, can't get any respect.
Cannot. She's the Rodney Dangerfield of the Real Housewives franchise. It is a fact. Yes.
She can't get no respect.
Mm-mm. It's so sad. What did you think when she got up and stormed out? That was classic.
I thought it was such a funny reveal that her elevator was just literally,
like, 2 feet away. That's so terrible. Take the stairs.
Like inches from the table.
And she had to just listen.
And the fact that they probably knew she was there, except if they're facing away, but my guess is they knew.
She's through the bars.
She's through the bars. And then Tamra, who's enjoying every moment of
just a shit-eating grin on her face the whole time.
The one moment I was like, I actually get Tamra laughing and smiling is like the fact that like it's just, it's not even that it's bars. It's just so weird. Like it's the visual of it, of like you're still shit talking or just talking about this person, but she's right there. It's classic Housewives. And I just didn't expect the elevator to be next to the table. And that delighted me.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
I was delighted.
Mm-hmm. Those are the things you can't ask for. You know, those are just like fun little bonuses. That hotel looks great, though, by the way. I was very impressed. They had the little tea sandwiches and stuff. Nice setup.
Okay, so I looked up hotels in London when I thought I was going in June before my trip got canceled. And there are, it looks like there's the Mayfair Hotel, which I swear to God I recognized as a place, once again, I could never afford to walk by, let alone go inside. But I was really obviously impressed by those suites, which were like,
giving I was me, too.
It was almost like Dubai energy where it's like, this is just too much. It's too mm-hmm. extravagant. Like this is at a certain point, like, do you really want to live in an apartment? You don't want to be in a hotel room? Oh, I guess you don't because you have tons of money and can be in a place that looks like you're living on an entire floor. Like it was giving me Real Housewives of Beverly Hills energy. And, you know, no disrespect to Orange County. I just didn't expect it. For them.
It was nice. It was nice. In fact, I just looked it up and there's an article on boutiquehotelier.com about the Real Housewives choosing a luxury London hotel for their cast trip. I want to go and I want to see how much is a room. Those are things I like to do. I'll do it on my own time. But I'm just saying, I want to know.
Yeah, you know what? It's going to be so dependent, obviously, on when they're going, whatever else. But like,
what's this time of year? They went in November, right?
Yeah, but also like the rooms that I'm seeing, all of which are gorgeous and I'm sure extraordinarily expensive, are not even a little bit close to what they had. I wonder if what they had was some kind of like private deal or something.
You usually have to call.
It didn't make sense.
Like you can book a normal room online, but if you want the suites, you usually have to call and talk to like the manager who does nothing but orchestrate those suites, you know?
Yeah, it didn't look like normal people suites. It looks like where you go if you're like J-Lo's third assistant. Oh, yeah. Speaking of, just want to say shout out Jennifer. And I send you anytime she says anything about the divorce or moving on from Ben, even before I read it, I send it to you.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
It's my version of saying thinking of you, BBD.
Yeah, no, these are our pebbles. These are our little friendship pebbles. We kick them.
I'm seeing, okay, the opium suite. Starts at $1,461 a night. Honestly, this is all Monopoly money to me because that's honestly the cost of an entire trip, truly.
Yeah.
If you're playing your cards right and you can fly out of an airport that has deals. That is less than I was expecting, but that it's not real money. Like, this isn't, none of this is real to me. Okay, and then there's other, the Azure suite is $2,847. And this is in pounds, by the way. So when I say $1,461 or whatever a night, that's actually $9 million American dollars with the exchange. I mean, they're paying a pretty somebody, production, I'm sure, had a great deal because the Mayfair looks great, or they didn't and they just have a great budget. And I love that for our ladies. I want to see them travel in style.
I agree. I don't want to see any cheap trips. That's not why we watch this. We want to escape. We won't want like insane, but we want good. We want to aspire. That's the hope, I think. To be like, oh, I would stay there. Oh, that looks nice. Oh, what are they eating? Oh, I like that sweater. I like, that's why I watch the show. Show me that. I mean, I'm looking at, they've got some normal rooms. I mean, this is like $500 a night for a decent-ish looking room. This is why I don't leave my house also, but still.
Yeah, that's like, I can't imagine. I just personally, I love to travel. I love it. You know, Paris is the light of my life. Was thinking I was going to be going there for a month this fall. And then my insides said, just
think
kidding.
Again.
But that's still happening. It's just going to happen another month after I've recovered.
Yeah.
But I just can't imagine spending that on a hotel. But also I travel, I'm paying for myself. I'm, you know, I find deals in like actual boutique hotels that aren't like fancy pants, but are comfortable and lovely. You know, my favorite part of the episode, aside from all of it, was when they were on that boat ride to hell. And
that was great. I love that.
It was so great. And like before it went to commercial, I think like Heather said something maybe, and we got lower thirds, or we got like the like captions of what she was saying, but we didn't necessarily see her. And then we did not see Gina actually saying this. But when Gina yelled, "Why, Shannon, why?" That was like the funniest. Like Gina Kirschenhider, I know that
Gina's got jokes.
I know that Shannon is obviously the reason this season exists, but like Gina Kirschenhider for secret MVP, honestly.
She's done great. She's holding her own. And there's something about, and maybe it started with Cartagena, but there's something about the women of any Housewives franchise just being like thrown around on a boat. That I think there's something in all of us that hearkens to a more pure time. And so it was great. And I love that Heather did not like it. I would also not like it. So I connected with her on that. I hate this. I want to be shopping for jewelry.
BBDB, I could talk to you about Orange County and everything all day. There is no one I would rather kiki with and shoot the shit and talk about boobs and how we hate Johnny J and Alexis
Can't stand
Bueno.
Him.
It has ruined my life.
Jay Quattro.
Jay Quattro.
Jesus Jugs and Johnny J.
I wonder if Jim Bellino is watching these episodes.
I think he's watching. I swear he posted something the other day about this. Someone forwarded it to me because obviously I don't follow him or check his account. So I think a lot of the people keep up with the shows.
I think it's great that she essentially threatened us on Instagram in saying she was going to reveal her truth immediately, shortly, because she needed to fact check the episodes because they're being edited for lies. I guess a lot of that propaganda against or that Shannon is
trying to present. It's a witch hunt.
It's a witch hunt. It's a bitch hunt. And let me tell you what, I haven't seen a damn video. And even though I don't follow her for moral and ethical reasons, I'm probably going to change any minute because I do want to see what she's up to. So like, let me slide into those DMs. It is fascinating to me that she said this. I think, you know what, if I actually get this date correct, you need to tell me to go on hiatus. I think she said on September 21st that, I think I got that wrong, but I think she said on September 21st that she,
See, no, but this is good. This is good. This is good memory recall. This is why we're sharp, because we watch these shows and we have to remember details.
But
it's good for us.
I forget how to spell my middle name.
Doesn't matter.
That she said on September 21st, "I just want to let everyone know that what you're seeing in my career is not real. It's not the truth. There has been so much left out intentionally to paint me in a bad light. It's okay. I'll take one for the team to get ratings for this business."
She's so brave.
"But I will live in truth and I will bring the truth. Whether I have to do it here on my Instagram page or if this career I choose decides to bring the truth out, either way, it will come out and you will see the true Alexis. Because what
you will all see the truth.
Because what you're seeing on your TV right now is not me. I love you all and I do not hate you for hating me. Because I would hate me too."
That's right. I remember I would hate me too. I remember reading that and being like, okay, that was really long.
"But just hang tight. I'll be speaking the truth after every episode of what has been left out intentionally to paint me as someone I don't even know.
This is too much. I gotta go.
It will actually intrigue you all. Triple red heart. Live recaps of the truth starting from episode 1 coming ASAP on my Instagram. And by the way, thank you to my glam squad for this picture. Hashtag God is on the throne. Well, God got delayed because that was on September 21st. And in this, on this day, in this year of our Lord and Savior Sutton Strack, October 11th, 2024, the truth has not yet arrived.
Spring, summer. It's a spring, summer drop for the truth.
It is a spring, summer drop for the truth. Joggers, anyone?
Anyone.
I mean, it is a to be continued. She did also use the song Kelly Clarkson's Stronger, What Doesn't Kill You.
What doesn't kill you makes you. She is such a piece of work. Ah.
You can say shit. It's okay. You can say
yeah, shit. I know. I'm trying to clean it up. I got real potty mouth in the last dive because I was so irritated.
Do you ever call anybody a cunt? Or do you say that for special occasions?
I don't know if I've dropped that. I don't think I've dropped that, but I was dropping F-bombs on the pod.
Well, that's just a Tuesday, honestly.
I was trying to be, because you know I'm trying to clean it up. I'm trying to clean it up, because I don't know if people are driving with their kids in the car or something. So I was trying to clean up on the pod, but I lost it.
Stay dirty.
I know. I like to be in the dirt. Okay.
No, let those kids, they need to, you know, this is their
that's
time.
That's true. These kids are going to grow up with cataclysmic climate change. They can handle an F-bomb.
F-bomb is probably the most positive part of God help us, the news that they're getting throughout the day. So, listen, on that uplifting note, BBDB, happy AG600. You know I adore you. You are, I mean, you're, what is it Oprah said about Gail? You're a sister, a friend, a mother, a content creator, a podcaster. All those things about Gail King, and they're all true. You know, I couldn't get through the day without texting you 1500 times. And I'm so appreciative to you for everything. I'm appreciative to Bravo for bringing us crazy kids, bringing us crazy gals into each other's orbit.
That's the beauty of Bravo. First of all, back at you. And that is the true beauty of Bravo because, oh my God, amongst the content creators, yes. And then also just like the people that you talk to all day about this stuff. It's great. I love it.
Honestly, my favorite people watch Bravo.
Absolutely. And they take it seriously. And I read a quote the other day that I absolutely agree with. It was like, I think it was Socrates where it was like, truly intelligent people learn from everything. Mediocre people learn from only themselves, and the really dumb people believe they have nothing to learn. And that to me is watching Bravo, because it's like, we learn so much. This is not a silly show. Nothing is silly. Like, this is amazing. So anyway, I like that quote.
Shaken.
I know. It's a good one.
Well, listen, so are you. Tell the EGs where they can follow you on social and listen to your incredible podcast. You have a bunch of intense deep drops out now, including the thing that is so incredible about your podcast. You're talking about Bravo. You're talking about pop culture. You're talking about true crime. You are truly mentioning it all. So tell the EGs some recent eps that you have shared with us and with the universe and where folks can follow you on social.
Sure. Bravo, Bravo, ducking Bravo all across social media, whether that's TikTok, whether that's it. I'm more of a lurker on TikTok, as we know. Instagram, the pod is called High and Low. It's a state of mind. And we talk about all kinds of things because my moniker is already Bravo centric. So it's like, yeah. We're going to talk about Bravo, but there's a lot of other stuff going on in the world. So we talk about many things. I go on rants. You never know. Because a lot of these shows, when you're watching them, things will be brought up that you can either brush aside or you can say, hold on a minute. Let's focus on that. Emily's talking about somebody, you know, the Innocence Project, somebody being incarcerated. Falsely accused of crime. Why don't we dig into that for a minute and talk about for-profit prisons and the 13th Amendment? Why don't we just take a beat and do that real quick? So that's always fun. That's always fun to learn about other things. And then also books, movies. If I watch a good movie, I tell you about it. And you never know. You never know what we're going to do. We do fun recaps. I try to do the voices. I try to get everyone's voice. Some people are very tricky. It's fun. It's a good time.
You know what else is a good time? Joining the Andy Scrolls Patreon. It's the number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes, BBDB's laughing, and so much more. Join now at patreon.com/AndyScrolls. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. And thanks to all the AGs. I literally feel like AG 500 was yesterday and then AG 400 was the Tuesday prior. So we're full steam ahead. We're keeping things moving. And I do just want to say on a personal note, obviously, obviously running into some unexpected personal mishigas is not ideal and has filled me with a tremendous amount of sort of guilt and anxiety about the fact that I, you know, through pneumonia, couldn't record. Now I have this abdominal thing, which means that I am pre-recording, but also there's going to be a little bit of a gap. While there will be more than enough content to go around, it means that like me catching up on Orange County is going to just take a minute longer before I'm able to record and catch up. And I just want to thank AGs for their patience. And it's I am, as you know, the first person on the face of the planet to ever have abdominal surgery. And I'm so excited to, create science and be the first member of STEM.
Patient zero. Yes,
I am patient zero. Mm-hmm. And I'm just really thankful to everyone for their patience. And I've been able to do this as my primary job for 4 years. And there's something incredibly powerful in knowing that this thing that I love to do, which is watching and talking about housewives, I've been able to focus on in this way. And the reason that I've been able to do that is because of AGs. And I just want to say thank you to everyone so much, including in the moments in which you vehemently disagree, including especially in those moments where we're able to have conversations and be able to, God forbid, sit in discomfort and acknowledge that my opinion might not be yours, but it doesn't mean that neither of ours shouldn't exist. And there is a lot of value to find in this. And I think, you know, the world is shit and everything is terrible. And there's something just really wonderful and gratifying of us just like having our space to like maybe scream at each other about Shannon v. Tamara or just like laugh about LOL something on New York. Why do I always use New York as an example at moments in which it doesn't make sense? There's a lot that I hopefully don't take for granted, but I'm just really appreciative of, and just wanted to say thanks to everybody for getting us to AG 600, and hopefully we have four or five more. So 604, 605 when we series finale. Just kidding. I just want to say thanks to everyone, and that's where we are. And I also just want to acknowledge that there are resources in the show notes if you would like to hopefully support those impacted by Hurricanes Helene and Milton, and sending all of my love. I've heard from AGs who have been terribly impacted, and you know, here we are in New York City and BBDB HQ.
Yeah, I think everybody should know, like, we're thinking about them and we're keeping up with it. And it looks really horrifying. I know I have a couple of followers. Some of just don't have power. Other people had flooding. Like, it's just, it runs the gamut. It runs the gamut because of the, you know, multitude of storms.
Yeah, I've heard some like horror show experiences that people have had. And it really just does give you a moment to be like, wow, I'm so thankful that, you know, we're, having this conversation and having moments of light in an apartment that I'm safe in, with electricity, with my sodium supplements nearby, with the ability to go to sleep in a bed that I can call my own. It's like, it's really one of those moments where you just say, like, I'm so thankful that I have a safe space to stay in. And I'm so sad and sorry for people who do not. And so, just wanted to send some love and some sass out there. And thanks again to all of you for listening, and to BBDB for joining. And we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.